This is Audible.
The Blue Mage Raised by Dragons, written by Vir Lice, narrated by Mir Trevathan. Prologue.
Shouldn't we stop her?
Asked a red dragon. She sat on top of a boulder with her head raised, her reptilian eyes staring off at the rising smoke in the distance.
No. It should be fine. Probably.
A puff of smoke flew out of a gold dragon's nostrils as he sighed. The dragon's paws covered his head as he lay on the ground beneath the boulder.
But what if the humans come?
The red dragon asked, flapping her wings twice. Her tail hung off the boulder, swishing above the gold dragon's head.
A black dragon, lying on his back with his arms and legs splayed, snorted. He yawned and smacked his lips. Then let them come.
Grimmy, you can't solve everything with violence, said the silver dragon who was sitting next to him.
Of course not, dear,
Grimmy said, as he raised his head to nuzzle her neck with his dark snout. His head fell back to the ground, creating a web of cracks on the rock surface below.
Oh, get a room, you two,
the red dragon said, puffing her cheeks out while staring at the couple. She turned her head back to the gold dragon and asked,
Are you sure we shouldn't do anything, Vernon?
If you can stop her, be my guest,
Vernon replied.
The only thing I'll be doing is praying I don't die when she returns.
The gold dragon shuddered and closed his eyes. The other three dragons stared at him.
He's whipped.
Definitely whipped.
A chorus of agreement resounded throughout the valley.
Your Majesty, the Red Blade adventurers have returned and wish to seek an audience,
a guard said with his head lowered and right arm across his chest. Across from him, sitting on a throne, there was a man with a crown.
They may enter, the king said.
A group of six people, four men and two women, walked through the metal doors towards the king. They stopped 20 steps away, with one man ahead of the others, and knelt while staring at the floor.
Your Majesty,
the man in front said. He wore a blue chainmail, and a red zweihänder was strapped to his back. The blade of the sword extended from his shoulders to his knees, while its hilt was slightly longer than his face.
You may rise.
The leading man stood up and crossed one arm over his chest.
We have accomplished your request. After stealing the dragon's egg, we split up and entered six different towns before teleporting back to the capital. Sophie,
he said. One of the women, wearing a red robe, rose and retrieved a watermelon-sized egg from her bag.
Excellent. You have done very well. As promised, I'll send a word in to the Adventurers Guild to increase your ranking. Each of you may also select a weapon from the Royal Armory. You are dismissed, the king said after taking the egg.
The red blades stood up and bowed before turning around to leave.
Won't the dragons retaliate, Your Majesty?
A man standing next to the king asked. He had a white robe and a silver cross necklace, the metal barely showing from under his beard.
They will, but we'll only lose a few frontier towns at most. They wouldn't dare to attack the bigger cities. What is worth more, Gale? A town or a dragon?
The king asked before bursting out into laughter.
Forgive me. I misspoke, Gale said while looking at the floor.
He clenched his necklace until it cut into his palm and drew blood.
I'm sorry.
Shrieks and screams resounded through the air. A man, wearing worn-out clothing, ran out the town gates with his wife. Tears streamed from the woman's eyes as she clutched the infant in her hands to her chest. Behind them was a sea of fire. The smell of burning wood and meat lingered in the air. Head towards the forest. The man had to shout over the roaring of the flames. The woman nodded and ran towards the woods. Before they even took 10 steps, a shadow blotted out the sun and the earth shook as a sky-blue dragon landed in front of them. Its eyes, with golden irises and black-slit pupils, stared at the two who had fallen over onto their butts. The dragon bared its fangs. Each tooth was the length of a man's forearm, and flecks of flesh were speckled throughout its mouth. The man's pants warmed up as a liquid passed through the cloth, but he couldn't move. He tried to scream, but no sound came out. The dragon arched its head up towards the sky and roared.
Why?
The woman asked. Her baby stirred in her arms, and her chest ached as fear gripped her. The dragon glared at the woman.
Vengeance,
it said as it raised its leg into the air. The woman closed her eyes and hugged her baby tight while sobbing. The baby's eyes opened after a teardrop fell on its face. It made eye contact with the sky-blue dragon and opened its tiny mouth. The ground shook and shattered as a roar escaped from the baby's lips, eliciting a scream from the woman as she dropped the baby and dove to the side. The dragon's claw stopped a foot above the dazed woman's head, and it blinked its eyes. A rumbling sound caused the earth beneath the woman to tremble. It took a second before she realized the dragon was laughing.
A blue mage? Interesting. If they take one of mine, then I'll take one of theirs,
the dragon thought with a smile. She gently scooped up the infant with her claws. Her golden eyes stared at the woman who trembled beneath her. Her mouth opened, and the smell of carrion assaulted the woman's nostrils.
What is his name?
1. Sarah, dear, what is that?
Vernon asked.
It's your son.
The sky-blue dragon stared at Vernon.
I see. My son. Yes, of course. How could I have been so silly as to not recognize my own flesh and blood?
Vernon asked, enunciating every word. She's gone crazy. Absolutely insane. Sarah was sitting on her hind legs, rocking the infant with her front claw.
Isn't he adorable? Say mama, Ver. Say mama.
The woman had told her the infant's name was Johann, but Sarah hadn't thought it sounded very intimidating. Grimmy let out a guttural laugh and slapped Vernon's back with his claw.
Congratulations on the healthy boy. He has your hair.
But he doesn't have hair.
Oh, the red dragon said and nodded.
It's true. He most certainly has a mane as fine as yours, Vernon.
The surrounding dragons let out giggles. Vernon glared at them before turning to Sarah. His brow creased as he asked,
Why does he look so human?
Sarah narrowed her eyes at him.
What part of him looks human? Why couldn't you recognize a human when they stole our egg?
Never mind. I'm sure little Ver will grow up to be a fine dragon.
Vernon let out a cough and looked towards the sky.
Of course he will. I imprinted him,
Sarah said, and nuzzled the baby's forehead with her snout.
You what?
All the dragons turned to stare at Sarah.
Did you really? The red dragon asked with wide eyes. Yes, he's one of us now. If any of you dare bully him, Sarah said, and narrowed her eyes, then I'll kill you myself.
She's really done it now. After all these years, she's finally gone insane,
Vernon mumbled with his claws covering his face.
Did you say something just now, dear?
Sarah smiled at Vernon.
No, I was only
volunteering to feed him. What a nice father you are,
Sarah interrupted. She held Ver out towards Vernon, and he had no choice but to accept. Vernon looked at Ver closely and frowned. The infant's eyes were golden, with slit pupils exactly like Sarah's.
She really did imprint him, Vernon thought, and sighed. Hello, Ver, Vernon said.
Ver looked into Vernon's red eyes and let out a roar.
Holy sh-
No cursing in front of the child,
Sarah said, as she smacked Vernon's snout with her claw. I told you he was one of us.
A blue mage, the silver dragon next to Grimmy whispered.
Are we really taking in a blue mage?
Grimmy asked. He raised an eyebrow while turning over onto his belly to get a closer look at the infant.
Mage? What mage? All I see is a blue dragon. Isn't that right, Sarah?
Vernon asked.
You really do learn well, honey.
Sarah smiled at him.
I'm tired after that little excursion. If you'll excuse me, I'll be taking a nap.
Wait, how many towns did you destroy?
The red dragon asked.
Only 17.
Don't forget to feed the baby, Vernon,
Sarah said as she flew up into the air. The golden dragon watched helplessly as Sarah's figure shrank in the distance.
But what does he eat?
Vernon sighed, peering at the infant sitting on his palm.
I heard the meat of magical beasts is great for humans, increases their strength or something,
Grimmy said. He poked the baby's belly with his front claw, causing him to cry out.
But he doesn't even have teeth? Can he eat that?
The red dragon asked, as she pinched Vur's cheeks to open his mouth. Grimmy snorted and returned to the silver dragon's side.
They make him drink their blood.
Vernon frowned at the crying baby who had just peed in his paw. His red eyes widened and glowed. A sphere of water formed in the air above Vur's head before falling on top of the infant, drenching him while washing away the pee.
Hold him for me,
Vernon asked the black and silver dragons, while offering the spluttering baby towards them. Grimmy raised an eyebrow as he plucked Vur off of Vernon's palm. He brought Vur to his nose and sniffed him with a nostril that was bigger than the baby's body. Vur let out a scream as he slipped out of Grimmy's claws and bounced against the floor.
Oops,
Grimmy said, and caught Vur before he could hit the floor again. The other dragons blinked as Grimmy dusted Vur off with the back of his scaled claw, smearing the crying baby's face with blood.
Grimmy!
The silver dragon gasped and smacked her mate's snout. She snatched Vur out of Grimmy's palm and touched the baby's forehead with the tip of her claw. Her silver eyes shone white, and a halo of light enveloped Vur. Translucent tendrils squirmed around Vur's body, healing the gashes on the back of his head. Vernon sighed and shook his head before spreading his wings and leaping into the air. The red dragon furrowed her brow as Vernon disappeared into the horizon before turning her head back to the now squabbling couple. She cleared her throat.
No one's going to tell Sarah we dropped him, right? She asked.
The dragons fell silent and exchanged glances before nodding. The red dragon exhaled and patted her chest before lying prone, curling her body around the top of the boulder.
Nice save, by the way, Layla.
The silver dragon smiled at her before shooting a glare at Grimmy. He scratched his cheek and chuckled while smiling. Layla turned her head away and jostled Vur in her palm, attempting to stop his crying.
Give him here, Grimmy said and held out his palm. I know how to make him stop.
No.
The cries continued as the sun moved across the sky. The howling of wind interrupted Vur's voice as wings flapped. Vernon was returning with a dead bear dangling from his mouth. The ground trembled, causing Vur to cry even louder as the golden dragon landed next to the couple and released the dead animal in his jaws.
How is he?
Vernon asked as he picked a scrap of flesh out of his teeth with his claw.
Noisy, Grimmy said.
Layla passed Vur back to Vernon before shaking her head and sighing.
I wish you luck in raising him, she said.
Vernon frowned as he placed Vur onto the ground and stripped a piece of flesh off the dead bear. As if noticing the change, Vur stopped crying and sat on his butt with his legs sticking straight out. Layla curled up next to Grimmy's side. The sun shone on her silver scales, creating a rainbow pattern of light. She turned her head towards Grimmy and nuzzled his neck with her snout. She asked,
Is he really going to feed him that?
The duo watched Vernon wave a piece of bloody bear meat in front of the sitting baby.
Doesn't it smell delicious?
Go on, try it, Vernon said. He smiled at Ver, blood dripping from his jagged teeth. Ver stared at the piece of meat before starting to cry. The red dragon snickered, causing Vernon to glare at her.
Quiet, Preeka. I'm not in the mood.
Preeka covered her snout with her paw, her eyes shining as muffled exhalations escaped from her lips. Vernon sighed and turned his head back towards Ver. The dragon's eyes shone, and an invisible force knocked Ver over backwards, plastering him to the ground. Vernon held the meat over Ver's head and let the blood drip into the infant's open mouth. Ver's eyes opened wide as he spluttered, but Vernon wouldn't relent and manipulated the blood back into Ver's mouth with magic. Ver drank mouthful after mouthful of the bear's blood until Preeka called out, "Stop! Stop! He's unconscious!" Vernon's eyes stopped glowing. He nodded at the infant, who had bloody foam trickling out of his mouth, before eating the chunk of meat in his claws. A purple-eyed man with four curved horns, two sticking out of his forehead and two protruding out of his temples, stood by a bedside with his hand holding onto a smaller, whiter hand. His skin was pale, blue veins decorating his exposed skin like little snakes. He wore a purple robe with a golden horn-shaped insignia embroidered on its chest. A large crown made of orange metal rested on his head, supported by the two horns on his forehead. His wife lay on the bed, with a blanket covering her bulging belly, but exposing her bare legs. She screamed and clutched her husband's hand, sweat rolling down her face onto the plush bed. Like the man, her skin was pale, and she had four horns growing out of her head. A maid, with a single horn sticking straight out of her forehead, was by the foot of the bed, staring at the woman's private bits.
"How does it look?"
the man asked, frowning as his fingers were crushed by his wife.
"It just started, my lord," the maid said.
She clasped her hands together and closed her eyes. A white light enveloped the screaming lady, causing her to gasp. Her screams reduced to labored groans, and the light disappeared. The maid opened her eyes and inhaled before speaking.
"Talking to my lady may help distract her from the pain, my lord."
The man nodded and looked at his wife. He tucked a lock of black hair, damp with sweat, and sticking against her cheek, behind her ear.
"Did you hear?"
he asked.
"The humans provoked a dragon. They lost over 15 settlements."
He stroked his chin with his free hand.
"It must be an auspicious sign. The future demon lord is born after hundreds of humans have died."
His wife gritted her teeth and glared at him with bloodshot eyes.
"Does it look like I care about that right now?"
she asked, and hissed as her lower body spasmed. The man scratched his head.
"I was just trying to help," he said.
He glanced at the maid, who avoided his gaze.
"How does it look, Prim?"
The maid resisted the urge to roll her eyes.
"It just started, my lord," she said, in the same tone as before. "Birthing can take up to 18 hours, more if there are complications. You can't expect..."
Her eyes widened.
"Eh?"
"What's the matter?"
the man asked. His wife's grip on his hand loosened, causing his heart to pound.
"Is the baby all right?"
"Yes, my lord," Prim said, her eyes still wide.
Her hands reached beneath the blanket into the area where the man couldn't see. Moments later, she raised her arms, revealing a silent baby.
"I retract my previous statement."
The man released his wife and hurried next to the maid. He snatched the bloody baby out of her hands, seconds after she snipped the umbilical cord, and peered at it, occasionally flipping it around and upside down. His face fell.
"He has no horns,"
he said, and looked at Prim with an accusing gaze. Prim nodded.
"That's to be expected, my lord. Only exceptionally gifted demons are born with horns," she said.
A groan caused her to look back towards the wife lying on the bed. Her body undulated, and a scream escaped from her lips. Prim's eyes widened as she stepped forward.
"Twins, my lord!" The man's mouth fell open as he held the silent baby in one hand, using his palm to support its head while resting its back along his forearm. His wife gripped the edges of her bed with both hands and screamed again. The man's face paled, and he stepped back to his previous position, avoiding the sight of blood and liquid gushing out of his wife. He wasn't squeamish, but he saw no reason to develop a tainted image of something he admired. The baby in his arms opened its eyes and stared at him, but the man didn't even notice. Cries were heard, and Prim lifted up another baby. The man stepped forward and swapped babies with Prim. He inspected it in a similar manner as before and sighed.
"He's also hornless," he said.
The baby cried, causing the man to wrinkle his nose.
"I'll hold that one if..."
A guttural scream cut him off. The baby stopped crying as Prim and the man turned their heads towards the woman lying on the bed. Her stomach was still bulging. Her already white hands turned even paler as she clenched them and tore through the sheets covering the mattress.
"Triplets," Prim said, and handed the baby she was holding to the man.
The man made a face as blood dripped from his elbows onto the ground. A dark color stained the rolled-up sleeves of his robe. Within seconds, a third baby appeared, accompanied by a sloshing sound. Prim snipped the umbilical cord and inspected the woman before turning her attention towards her lord. The woman's belly had finally returned to normal, and short gasps escaped from her mouth. Something pricked Prim's chest. She looked down and opened her mouth.
"My lord, this..."
"Horns!"
the man said, and tossed the two babies he was holding onto the bed, causing both of them to cry out. He snatched the baby out of Prim's arms and cradled it to his chest, not caring about the bloody stains it left on his robe. He laughed and extended his hands, holding the baby in front of his face. His face fell.
"It's a girl."
"What's wrong with a girl?"
the woman lying on the bed asked as she trembled and sat up. A white light enveloped her body, thanks to Prim, who was standing by the bed with her eyes closed and hands clasped. The woman picked up the two babies and frowned at the man. The man chuckled and cradled the baby to his chest.
"There's nothing wrong with a girl. How do you feel?"
he asked.
"It's amazing how you persisted through giving birth to triplets."
His wife's eyes narrowed.
"I feel great," she said, and ground her teeth together. "Just fine."
The man's eyes gleamed, and he focused his attention on the baby in his arms.
"Your name will be Toffel," he said,
and smiled, revealing a row of white teeth.
"What about your sons?"
his wife asked as she hugged the two infant boys to her chest. The man shrugged.
"How about 2 and 3?
He asked. He wiggled his finger in front of Toffel's face, causing her to stretch her hands out.
"Gabriel and Lamarck,"
his wife said, and smiled at her children. Her smile didn't reach her eyes. "I'm sure they'll grow up to be as strong as their father." She glanced at the man who was still entranced by the baby in his arms. He hadn't heard her. The man raised his head and laughed.
"Toffel will be the greatest mage of this generation," he said. "Black, red, white, green. It doesn't matter what kind of maid she becomes."
"Blue?"
his wife asked, as she handed the two babies to Prim. The man snorted.
"What are you thinking, woman?"
he asked.
"Use your head sometimes. What beasts are nearby for her to learn skills from?"
The woman frowned and crossed her arms. She lay back down on the bed, ignoring the warm fluids underneath her legs, and muttered under her breath, "You said any." She eyed the smile on her husband's face. It looked more like a sneer. She snorted and turned over onto her side. "See if I'll let you get your way." Prim turned her head away, pretending not to have heard anything.
2.
5 years later. The human king stood on a platform in the back of a ballroom, a golden scepter in his right hand. Behind him, Gale stood with his hands clasped behind his back, wearing a white robe. To the left of the king, a youth stood with his chest puffed out.
He wore a set of blue armor that was too big in the shoulders for his scrawny frame. The king cleared his throat and banged the end of his scepter onto the platform, causing the ballroom to fall into silence. Hundreds of eyes turned towards his direction, causing the youth to fidget.
"I'd like to thank you all for coming here today to celebrate my son's coming-of-age ceremony," the king said, and gestured towards the youth with his free hand.
The well-dressed guests applauded, while a few of the armored guards in the back whistled. The king waited for the applause to die down before continuing.
"As many of you know, he is an exceptional fighter with great aptitude in holy magic. 6 years ago, I announced he would become the leader of the Holy Knights. But today, I am renouncing that declaration."
A few murmurs of confusion floated up as the nobles looked around at each other. The king waved his hand to silence them and paused, letting all the eyes fall on him.
"Today, you will become the first Dragon Knight," the king said, and slammed the end of his scepter against the platform. His voice boomed and echoed off the walls. "Elise!"
The metal doors swung open, and a woman with white hair holding an orange chain walked into the ballroom. She tugged on the chain that was as thick as her thigh, and a carriage-sized sky-blue dragon lumbered through the entrance. Its eyes were wide, and its head was lowered like a dog that was caught chewing on a pillow.
"Nearly 5 years ago, the Red Blade adventurers risked their lives to obtain a dragon egg. The result is in front of you," the king said. "Elise has done an excellent job as a beast tamer, raising the baby dragon all on her own. For her efforts, I will bestow her with the title of Viscountess."
A few nobles clapped, but the majority remained silent in fear of drawing the dragon's attention to themselves.
"With the addition of a dragon knight to our troops, we will be able to exterminate the dragon menace at our borders and reclaim the lost city of Flusia."
The king smiled as the nobles edged away from the walking dragon. The men trembled, and a few ladies fainted.
"Even the demon lord is incapable of defeating a dragon. When we conquer the demons, we'll move on to the elves. We've been oppressed for far too long. Our time is nigh."
The king paused and let the armored guards in the back howl and cheer to their heart's content. He patted his son on the shoulder and said,
"Rudolph, go and claim your prize."
"Thank you, father," Rudolph said with a wide smile on his face.
He strutted towards the dragon and held his hand out towards Elise. He made eye contact with the dragon and shivered before wetting his lips with the tip of his tongue. The dragon stared back at him with its wings and tail raised. Its lips were slightly parted, revealing a row of yellow teeth.
"A 12-year-old brat wishes to bond with a dragon. Ridiculous," Elise thought, as she smiled at the prince.
She put her hand on the dragon's snout, stroking it a few times, before grabbing Rudolph's outstretched arm with her other hand. A pillar of white light emanated from Elise and illuminated the room. The dragon roared, while Rudolph screamed, as runes of light formed in the air and swirled around them. The dragon shook its head and slammed its feet against the floor, while its tail thrashed around, knocking over tables filled with wine and food. Rudolph fell to his knees, held up only by Elise's grip, and most of the tables were overturned. Elise released her hands, and the light faded away.
"It has been done,"
Elise said, with her forehead covered in a sheen of sweat. Rudolph panted as he stared at his wrist and grinned at the green rune spiraling up his forearm. The nearby nobles had screamed when the dragon rampaged, and they were just beginning to calm down. The king waited until everyone fell silent.
"As expected of a master-class beast tamer, the bond was established on the first try," he said.
Sparse applause rang out, and Elise took a bow. Her body trembled, and a hint of longing appeared in her eyes as she stared at the dragon. It mewled at her as if knowing she would be leaving. Elise turned her head away and curtsied at the king. Her lips quivered, but her voice was steady.
"It was nothing," she said. "It was an honor to be of service. Now, if you'll excuse me, I must rest. Forming a bond is quite exhausting.
She turned around and pursed her lips, ignoring the whimpers coming from the dragon as she walked outside of the ballroom. The nobles began to chatter, softly, at first. Rudolph stared at the dragon with his mouth slightly open. It had light brown eyes with round pupils.
"It's mine. I have a dragon," Rudolph thought, while almost squealing.
"What are you going to name it?"
a voice called out, slurring the words. The voice belonged to a red-faced noble who had his arm around a scantily clad woman. Rudolph met the dragon's watery eyes.
"Johann. I'll name him Johann."
"All right, Ver," Vernon said,
as he alighted to the forest's ground. The trees bent backwards due to the force of his wings slowing his massive body down. Ver was sitting on Vernon's snout, with his legs straddled over a golden ridge of scales. He was completely naked, with tangled brown hair that hung down to his shoulders. Vernon lowered his head to the ground and tilted his snout to the side, letting Ver jump off.
"It's about time you learned how to hunt for yourself, you damned freeloader. Or beloved son. All dragons learn how to hunt when they turn 5.
Ver blinked at Vernon, a blank expression on his face.
"Hunt?
You'll figure it out, I think,"
Vernon said, and furrowed his brow before shrugging his shoulders.
"Just do what you feel is right."
He spread his wings and jumped into the air, abandoning the naked 5-year-old child in the forest. The dragons had never taken Ver hunting before, opting to bring him a dead bear once a month instead. Ver scratched his head and looked up at the golden speck in the sky before wandering off into the forest. His feet and hands were calloused from 5 years of crawling around naked on the hard ground through many summers and winters. His body was tan and lean, and he crept through the forest on all fours like a cat. A rustling noise caught his attention, and his head turned towards the sound. He bounded ahead and brushed aside a bush blocking his view. There was a small, 4-legged creature eating berries off of a bush. It had a squiggly tail and hooves on the end of its feet. The baby boar's eyes widened, and it let out a surprised squeal as Ver smiled and tackled the boar. He held the boar up. It was half his height, with round golden eyes and black stripes running down its sides, contrasting with its light brown fur. Ver tilted his head as the boar squealed and squirmed in his grasp. He furrowed his brow because he wasn't quite sure what hunting entailed. Up above, Vernon nodded to himself and began to descend after Ver caught the boar. It wasn't a bear, or even an adult boar, but it was something. The child hadn't resorted to magic either. He furrowed his brow as Ver flipped the boar over onto its back. The child seemed to be forcing something into its mouth. As he approached the ground from the air, a flash of golden light, shooting out of Ver, blinded him, causing him to crash into a tree. The tree groaned and snapped while the ground trembled. Vernon shook his head and blinked his eyes a few times. He stared at Ver and the boar in his hands. His mouth fell open as a golden rune flashed on both Ver's and the baby boar's forehead.
"Shit. Sarah's going to murder me."
Ver turned around and beamed as he held the baby boar aloft.
"Look, Papa," he said with a smile on his face. "I did it. I hunted."
"That's great,"
Vernon said, with his voice trailing off. His face fell as the boar's irises and pupils glowed and changed shapes, becoming similar to Ver's. He bit his lower lip and sighed while shaking his head.
"Excellent job. Let's go home, okay?"
"Ugh!"
Ver grunted and nodded while hopping onto Vernon's snout, using his nostril as a stepping stone. He cuddled the boar in his arms, and it licked his nose in reply. Vernon's face cramped as he flew into the air and headed back to the valley where he lived. They passed over a sea of green and multiple mountain ranges. The boar in Ver's arms stared at the scenery with wide eyes. At last, the trio alighted in front of a cave with veins of golden ores decorating its exterior.
"Sarah, dear, are you home?"
Vernon called out. He cleared his throat and sat on his haunches, praying she wasn't. His prayers were unanswered.
"You two are back already?" Sarah's voice asked. A pair of golden eyes appeared in the depths of the cave before her sky-blue head came into view.
"How was his first hunt? Did he kill a bear?"
Vernon scratched his head, causing the baby boar to squeal. Vernon's left eye twitched. His voice fell to a whisper. "Imprinted a boar." He closed his eyes and covered his ears with his paws.
"He what?"
Sarah asked, and rushed out of the cave, causing the ground to tremble and dust to fall from the ceiling. Her eyes widened at Ver, tossing the baby boar up and down into the air like a ball.
"Mama, look!"
Ver said, while dangling the boar out in front of him. The five-year-old smiled wide and hugged the boar to his chest.
"I named her Snuffles."
Sarah glared at Vernon, who was still isolating his senses, before directing her gaze to Ver.
"Did you imprint it?" "Imprint? No, I hunted her," Ver said, while shaking his head. "Papa said I did a good job."
If looks could kill, Vernon would have died right then and there. Sarah took in a deep breath and smiled at Ver before speaking.
"Tell Mama how you found him." "Snuffles is a girl. She has eyes like Mama. I was hunting and I saw her, and I tried to feed her to Hunter, but she kept trying to run away, so I did what Papa does to me when I don't eat, but then she stopped moving, but I didn't want her to stop, so I hugged her, and a bright light appeared, and then Papa came,"
Ver said in one breath, and tilted his head to one side.
"What is she, Mama?"
Sarah looked at the trembling boar.
"That is most definitely a male," she sighed.
"We're going to have a long talk, Ver."
Vernon opened one eye and uncovered his ears.
"You're not mad?"
Sarah smiled, showing her teeth while narrowing her eyes.
"Come, dear. I think both of you can learn something new."
"Ah," Vernon said, as he dropped Ver onto the ground and turned around to walk away.
"I just remembered I had something to do. Preeka needed me to..."
Preeka's voice called out from below the cave.
"Don't bring me into this!"
Vernon whimpered as Sarah bit his tail and dragged him into the depths of the cave. Snuffles looked up at Ver, who trotted after the two into the darkness.
"Mama loves Papa," he said to the boar,
and stroked its forehead. Elise sighed at her empty stables. There was so much space now that Johann had left. A month had already passed since she handed his reins to the prince, and she still hadn't replaced the partition he occupied. She was about to enter, but a fluctuation of magic caused her hair to stand on end. She whirled around just in time to see a half-naked old man appear out of thin air.
"Elise?"
the old man said, as he ran a bony finger through his white beard. "Exenter?" Elise said, unfazed by the man's appearance. "To what do I owe this pleasure?"
"The king sent me to bring you to him," Exenter said.
"Apparently the dragon's broken or something. He wouldn't let me take a look, though. A shame, really. I was hoping to study it a bit. Both you and that man are so stingy."
He clicked his tongue. Elise sighed and held out her hand. "Please teleport my clothing, too."
"That's really not up to me,"
Exenter said, and smiled as he grabbed her hand. Elise's vision went dark. Moments later, the color reappeared, and she found herself standing in the center of a room with a red carpet on the ground. She glanced down and exhaled in relief when she saw all her clothes had remained with her. Exenter released her hand and stepped to the side as she raised her head.
"Elise?"
"Your Majesty," Elise said, and knelt on the floor. A mewling sound caught her attention, but she resisted the urge to raise her head. The king was sitting on his throne with the prince and the dragon by his side. Rudolph was sitting on Johann's back.
"Why can't Johann use magic?"
Rudolph asked. The dragon flinched when it heard its name.
"You may rise," the king said.
Elise stood up and observed the men in front of her. The prince was frowning, and the king wasn't smiling. Gale was like a statue of a bishop as he stood behind the king with his hands clasped and face expressionless.
Johann has not been imprinted. All magical beasts can imprint their young to grant them their lineage, which contains their innate magic, Elise said, and lowered her head. Without an imprint, a magical beast is just a beast.
Then get him imprinted,
Rudolph said, and smacked his hand down on the side of Johann's neck. Elise resisted the urge to frown, but her eyes grew cold.
Is that possible?
The king asked.
Only if you can find a dragon willing to imprint him, Elise said.
What about a different beast?
Exenter asked. His eyes lit up as if a light bulb appeared over his head. Elise shook her head.
Johann is no longer a child. Finding a mother willing to take him in as her own would be quite difficult in and of itself, she said. And even if you could find one, if you imprint Johann with, say, a magical boar, then his potential and abilities would be limited to the level of the boar.
Exenter raised an eyebrow.
Then if a dragon imprinted a boar?
Elise shot a glance at the old man, who had managed to lose another piece of clothing through his teleportation.
Then that dragon's beyond stupid, she said. What kind of question is that?
So there's a chance,
Exenter said and nodded, causing Elise to sigh.
Can't you find me a dragon, Dad?
Rudolph asked the king.
I'm afraid that's beyond our capabilities, the king said. I'll put a request into the guild, but you shouldn't get your hopes up.
Rudolph grumbled. 3 black-haired, purple-eyed kids, 2 boys and 1 girl, were eating at a rectangular table with a horned man and woman. The man sat at the head of the table, while the boy sat on one side, and the mother and daughter sat on the other. The girl had 2-inch-long red horns growing out of her temples, curving towards the back of her head. There were bumps on the boy's temples. Red curtains were draped across the massive window that let in a beam of sunlight. Outside, the tops of gray buildings with red-tiled roofs could be seen stretching off into the distance. The citizens down below were the size of ants. The man placed his knife and fork down and dabbed a napkin to his lips. He pushed his chair back and stretched his feet out, letting the plush carpet brush against his heels. The children also placed their utensils down before wiping their mouths, while the mother continued eating, furrowing her brow at her husband. He cleared his throat, and the children turned their heads. His gaze glanced over the 2 boys before lingering on the girl. His voice flowed like silk.
The 3 of you are now old enough to attend school.
His wife frowned.
Isn't it too soon? She thought, but didn't say anything, opting to stab the bottom of the dinner plate through her steak with her fork.
The man's lips twisted into a wry smile before he continued speaking.
You are the children of the Demon Lord. Great things are expected of you. How can you achieve anything if you're stuck in school past adulthood? You will learn how to lead our people to victory against the humans.
The woman's frown extended, and cracks formed on the dinner plate as her hand trembled.
Even Tuffle? She asked.
Her 4 horns glowed with a red hue that was barely noticeable under the sunlight.
Especially Tuffle. She's only 5 years old, but her horns are longer than some demons ever will be. Imagine how strong she'll be when she's an adult,
the man answered.
A smile crept onto his face as he stared at his daughter's blank expression.
He picked up his fork and resumed his meal.
I'm stronger than her, Dad,
one of the boys said and snorted.
Older, too. Shut up, Gabe. You're only older than us by a few seconds,
his brother said. Gabriel lifted his head and crossed his arms while smiling.
That still means I'm the oldest, lame-o, he said.
Tuffle shook her head and resumed eating. Lamarck made a face at Gabriel and picked up his own fork. A plate shattered, causing the family to turn towards the sound. The woman's horns were pulsing with a bright red light now.
How is Tuffle going to get married if she's to spend her days learning about war? Will she find a husband who trained to be a wife?
It's fine, Mom, Tuffle said, glancing at her father's face. His eyes were slightly narrowed. I want to go to school.
Her dad smiled at her. No, it isn't fine. You're going to be a proper young lady, not some warmongering tomboy, her mother said, causing the man to scowl. Toffle pouted at her father.
Then how about homeschooling for Toffle? She doesn't need to learn any war methods, but she should at least learn how to defend herself, the man said. We can hire...
The man's eyes narrowed for an instant.
Dustin to teach her magic, and Prim can watch over her. I trust this arrangement should be satisfactory.
That's not fair, Gabriel said. How come she gets to learn from Dustin?
Hush, eat your food, his mother said, her horns dimming. She turned towards her husband and pursed her lips. Fine, we'll have Dustin teach her. His rates will be extremely expensive, though. Her face hardened. The man shrugged and smiled. He placed his hand on his wife's before speaking.
We don't lack money. Hiring a top-tier mage to teach the future demon lord can be counted as money allocated for defense.
Toffle stuck her tongue out at Gabriel before picking up her fork. Sarah yawned and opened her eyes, smacking her lips together.
Vrr?
She asked, as she rolled her shoulders and sat on her haunches. She blinked and glanced around the cave, which was illuminated by golden lines running along the walls. A snoring sound caught her attention, and she turned around. Vernon was lying on his back, with his arms and feet sticking up into the air. The ground trembled as the golden dragon's mouth opened and inhaled with a rumbling sound. Sarah's tail flashed and smacked Vernon's belly. Vernon's eyes shot open as he was interrupted mid-snore. He wiped a strand of saliva away with the back of his paw and raised his head. His gaze followed the sky-blue tail on his belly until he ended up staring at his mate's scowling face.
Sarah?
Where's Ver? Sarah asked and narrowed her eyes. It was your turn to watch him.
Eh?
Vernon asked as he rolled over onto his feet.
He's right... not here.
He scratched his head and peered underneath himself. He frowned and muttered, Did I squish him while sleeping again?
What the hell do you mean again? Sarah roared and tackled Vernon, pinning him onto his back. How many times have you done that?
20-some?
I mean once. Once! I only did it one time, Vernon shouted and covered his snout.
Sarah snorted and climbed off of her mate, her tail swishing and knocking piles of golden ingots over. A red dragon head peeked into the cave.
Heyo, matriarch,
Preeka said and waved, the sunlight glinting off her red scales.
Did something happen? Ver's missing, Sarah said.
Preeka blinked. Seconds passed. Preeka blinked again as her head tilted. So?
What do you mean, so?
He always goes missing, Preeka said. Every time you go to sleep and Vernon's supposed to watch over him, Ver runs off with his adopted son. Sarah's eyes flashed as she whirled around to face her mate. She bared her teeth and growled,
Explain!
Vernon's eyes darted to the cave entrance, but Preeka was already long gone. The red dragon snickered as she flew away from the cave towards the depths of the valley. Screams and whimpers reached her ears as she stretched her wings. She landed in front of a cave with red boulders by the entrance and smiled as she climbed inside, curling up into a ball. That's what you get for stealing my dinner, she said, and hummed to herself as the distant, strained voice of a pleading dragon reached her ears. Meanwhile, in a location nearly 50 miles away from the dragon's valley, a naked boy and a baby boar were wandering through the forest, both of them on all fours. A golden rune was flashing on the boar's head, and every animal that saw the light quickly ran away. Some beasts made themselves scarce before the duo even came into view. Eventually, the duo reached a glade with an enormous tree.
"We finally made it,"
Ver said, and gazed at the tree. Ever since Ver had seen the tree from the top of the dragon's mountain, he wanted to see it in person. It was larger than he thought. The width of the trunk was as long as half a dragon. But the most remarkable part about the tree was its height. He couldn't even see the top while looking up at it from the ground. Golden sparkles in the branches caught his attention.
Oink. What? You want to eat that?
Burr asked while pointing. Snuffles nodded his head and wiggled his rump. Burr nodded at the golden fruit in the tree above him.
All right.
His eyes glowed with a golden light, and the branches near the top of the tree bent, but the fruit didn't fall. He frowned and furrowed his brow as his eyes narrowed. The golden light increased in intensity, and he reached upwards with his right hand. The tree groaned as the branches dipped even further. A single horizontal line formed on its trunk.
Stupid tree!
Ver shouted and stamped his foot. His eyes glowed as bright as the sun, and his hand trembled as sweat dripped from his forehead. The line on the tree trunk widened and splintered. Ver panted and let out a roar while stomping his foot against the ground again. The forest fell silent before a thunder-like noise echoed outwards with the tree as its epicenter. Leaves rustled and the top half of the tree leaned to one side.
Oops,
Ver said as he stared at the falling tree. His eyes stopped glowing as he tilted his head to the side and scratched his butt. The rumbling sound the tree produced while falling through the air was like thousands of waves crashing upon a rocky shore. The ground shook, and a mass of dust cloud flew into the air as the top of the tree landed on the forest below, shattering hundreds of trees and bushes. Fur and Snuffles braced themselves, digging their limbs into the ground as the shockwave from the impact washed over their bodies.
Squee!
Snuffles squealed, and ran over to the fallen branches, rummaging for the golden fruits with his snout. Burr dusted himself off before trotting over and picking up a fruit. The two indulged in the sweet fruit until their stomachs were bloated and their bodies round. They couldn't count the number of fruit they had eaten even if they tried. Burr had learned from a young age to eat as much as possible, because his next meal could be days or weeks later. Sadly, only the fruit on the lowest branches were golden ripe. The ones near the top were black and solid like rocks.
That was really good,
Burr said, as he groaned and curled up to take a nap. Snuffles waddled over and fell onto his side, exhaling as his perfectly round and bloated body wobbled back and forth.
The great tree has fallen! Kill the trespassers!
A group of seven women with pointed ears emerged from the direction opposite of where the tree fell.
Dragon! How dare you violate the treaty between...
Dragon?
Do you see a dragon? One of the women asked with her bow raised. She muttered, Can we even fight a dragon?
No, but I can feel its aura,
the one who spoke first said. She was wearing an outfit made of brown leather and had a wooden spear marked with golden etchings. She scanned the surroundings before her gaze stopped on the bloated duo. She glared at Ver and raised her spear.
Did you do this?
Her hands were white as she gripped her spear and pointed it at Ver.
Speak!
Ver shook his head and hugged Snuffles. The woman with the bow said, Don't be ridiculous, Celia. How can an elf...
human? How did such a young human get here?
I'm not a filthy human,
Ver said, copying Grimmy's language.
I'm a dragon.
He sucked in a deep breath, causing a golden rune to appear on his forehead. The elves stared at him with their brows furrowed and weapons raised. Ver roared. The ground trembled, and the surrounding forest fell silent. The group of elves jumped backwards and almost tripped over each other.
What the heiress was that?
Celia asked. Her knees knocked together. The elves standing behind her weren't in better shape. They stared at the naked little boy who was glaring at them while holding a spherical boar. Celia bit her lower lip. How can a child look so haughty while naked?
Was it his presence we felt earlier?
One of the elves asked in a whisper.
It's possible. Could a dragon have imprinted him? What dragon would be crazy enough to imprint a human child?
I heard the dragon matriarch lost another egg a few years ago. Could it have been her? Celia raised her spear, cutting off further discussion between the elves.
Who's your bond mother?
She asked, eyeing Ver with her brow furrowed.
Mama,
Ver said and nodded.
Yes, who is your mama?
Mama is mama. Are you stupid?
Burr asked, while tilting his head.
Grimmy told me to stay away from stupid people, or else I'll become stupid, too.
Grimmy? Grimoldesser? One of the elves whispered.
Grimmy is Grimmy, not Grimoldapants. You are stupid. Let's go, Snuffles.
Burr shook his head before turning around and walking away. One of the elves stepped forward to stop him, but Celia blocked her. The elf she blocked raised an eyebrow. Celia waited until Vur's figure disappeared into the forest before saying,
We need to have a talk with the matriarch. Let the elders know when we get back. Dragons are beyond our jurisdiction.
Vur lowered his head and petted the bloated Snuffles in his arms as he walked back towards the Dragon's Valley.
What do you think those things were? He asked. They looked like me, but uglier and taller.
Snuffles burped in reply and closed his eyes. Vur shrugged his shoulders.
I'll ask Mama when I get back.
The journey back to the valley took 3 days, but the duo encountered no troubles due to the golden mark on Snuffles' forehead. When Vur entered the valley, his body no longer rotund, a silver dragon head peered out of a cave and towards the entrance. Layla smiled and waved at him before opening her mouth to shout,
Vur's back!
The ground rumbled as the sky-blue dragon holding a golden object flew towards the sky from the furthest mountain in the distance. Vur squinted his eyes. Sarah approached him with Vernon in her claws. A red blur appeared from the west, and a black dragon head appeared by Layla's side. The 5 dragons gathered around Vur, staring at him with their reptilian eyes. Vur took a step back and blinked while pouting.
Mama found out.
I told you she'd catch you sneaking out one day, Grimmy said, cupping his paw over his mouth while pretending to whisper. This is why you should always leave an illusion behind. Want me to kidnap a fairy for you? They're good at trickery.
Layla tugged Grimmy's wing.
Stop corrupting the youth, she said.
Sarah glared at Grimmy, causing him to chuckle and wave his paw dismissively.
Vur?
Sarah said. And sat on her haunches, releasing Vernon. Did you knock down the elves' sacred tree of knowledge? Vur shook his head and hugged Snuffles.
Just a tree, no knowledge.
Sarah cleared her throat.
Were there golden fruits?
Vur nodded.
They were very delicious, he said. Not as juicy as bear meat, though. They also gave me a bellyache.
Did you eat them all?
No, Snuffles ate half.
Snuffles raised his head and glanced around before going back to sleep. Sarah sighed.
What's wrong, Sarah? Grimmy asked while laughing. The elves can just plant another one.
That tree takes over 500 years to grow and 1 year to bear a single fruit. As the matriarch of this land, I can't just ignore their complaints. The elves want to take Vur and properly educate him, Sarah said.
No, I don't want to. I'll turn stupid, Vur said,
and shook his head back and forth.
You won't make me go, right, Uncle Grimmy?
Sarah glared at Grimmy.
It's your fault, too, for teaching Vur such nonsense.
Grimmy snorted.
You're the one who insisted Vur was a dragon. I just taught him our principles.
Vur pouted.
I am a dragon. Papa said I'll grow wings and scales when I grow up. Papa wouldn't lie to me because Mama said dragons don't lie.
All the dragons stared at Vernon, who let out a soft cough.
Ah, Vur, didn't you lie about not knocking down the tree to the elves? That means you can't grow wings and scales anymore.
Vernon smiled at the dragons, who were looking at him, and received a smack to his snout from Sarah.
What? I fixed it,
Vernon said while rubbing his nose.
I feel bad now. When are we going to tell him?
Layla mumbled to Grimmy.
Tell me what?
Burr asked.
You're adopted, Preeka said.
All the dragons glared at the red dragon, who clamped her claws over her mouth.
What's adopted?
Burr asked and tilted his head.
It means we love you no matter what, Sarah said,
while still glaring at Preeka.
Oh, I'm adopted,
Verse said with a smile.
You're adopted too, Mama.
Sarah's head started to throb.
Don't let Grandpa hear you say that or he'll get